Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. And you can download that podcast with your phone, too. There's a podcast app on the iPhones. There's also a podcast player app on those Samsung and Droid. What are those? Droids? Is that what they're called? Android phones? So you can listen to the show many, many ways. And, of course, all these radio stations, thank you for carrying the radio show. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism, lakeofthewoodsmn.com. We talk to Joe Henry every week to get a Lake of the Woods fishing report. We'll see what's going on with that lake later this week. Also by Haybell Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Lucas Mertens or Curtis Blake gives us reports each week from that lake as well. By Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota and also spring snow goose hunts in Missouri and South Dakota. Go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. And also by Prairie Sportsman, the new season of Prairie Sportsman starting back up in January. Nominated for two Emmy Awards. A very good show, Prairie Sportsman. I'm a little partial to it. I might be a little biased since I'm on it. But right now, this has got to be one of the more unique settings for the radio show. I've done the radio show in a lot of weird places. A front seat of my pickup many, many times. Front seat of other pickups a lot of times. Sometimes it's the middle of a cornfield in South Dakota. We've done it in hotel rooms in Missouri, of course, all over each corner of the state of Minnesota. We've done it at Tazon Lake in Saskatchewan, which is where I met our first guest this week, Barry Prawl, who's with us right now. And we're sitting at Trails End Outfitters looking over Tobin Lake in Saskatchewan right now. And we're on it feels like we're on the third floor. I suppose it's the second floor deck, Barry.
Yeah, that's right. Second floor.
Second floor. But yeah, we're way up at the top of your beautiful cabin. This is a huge cabin. This log cabin, there's no way that these are fake logs. They're so big.
No, they came from the east side of Tobin up in an area we call Pasco Hills that's just major spruce, birch, everything over there, but these are mature white spruce logs.
My gosh, how big around are they?
I would think they're about 3 feet. Wow. The biggest one.
I mean, what do you suppose one of those weighs? You were telling us about building this cabin and the guy that built it. How the heck did he get those logs up there?
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. He actually had a one-ton picker truck, and that's how we swung these logs up there.
My gosh. So, and we're getting pictures. My dad is up here with us, Ron Amundson, and he's down there taking pictures from the ground level. So we'll have the photo of where we're at in some of these big logs at Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook, or probably you could probably see pictures of it too on the Trails End Outfitters Facebook and website.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, on the webpage we have pictures of the cabin inside and out. Yep.
Now, it's very cool. Great place. Thanks for having us up here, of course. Nipawin, the closest town here to where we're at on Tobin Lake. And what do you do here at Trails End Outfitters, Barry?
At Trails End here, we outfit for whitetail deer, black bear, and, of course, walleye and pike on the lake.
Okay. And you got some, just from driving around this week, we've been up here. There's a little bit of wildlife around here.
Yeah, that's right. We kind of take it for advantage living here, but it's one of the nicest places in the world. You know, we have almost all kinds of big game species, moose, elk, deer, you know, the birds, anything you want to hunt. Yeah, it's just a beautiful place to live. And of course, Tobin Lake right out your doorstep. It's, you know, some of the biggest walleye in the world are caught out of here. So, yeah, we're very fortunate to live here.
I think the biggest walleye in the world...
Okay. The world record ice fishing.
Through the ice.
Yeah. It was close to 19 pounds. Priest and Nipawin caught it here. It must be about 10 years ago. Only a couple miles from the cabin here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So do you go ice fish in that spot?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows where it is and gives it a go, yeah.
What kind? You get pretty good ice out here in the winter, I'm sure?
Yeah. You get 4 or 5 feet of ice by spring, and... It's good, you know. You can almost, if you don't have much snow, you can drive all over the ice. But most times we have a lot of snow, so you pretty much have to have a snowmobile or something to get around. But it's lots of ice to drive on with a vehicle, even if you don't have much snow.
We're talking with Barry Prawl here at Trails End Outfitters in Saskatchewan on Sporting Journal Radio. And I met you with Trevor Montgomery. You're also owner at Tazen Lake Lodge in Saskatchewan, where we've been going up for the last couple of years. And I was talking to Trevor as we were driving up here. My dad and I drove up from Minnesota the other day, and it was, I think, about a 14-hour drive, which when you think about it, you Google Maps something like that, and it's like, oh, gosh, 14 hours, and I got to drive across Canada. The drive was easy. Actually, it wasn't a bad drive at all. I mean, it's kind of a long trip, but it was funny. I was texting Trevor as we were coming up, and he's like, well, where are you at? And I said, well, we're by Yorkton. He goes, oh, it's moose country. Going to start getting into moose country. And no sooner than I got that text message that there was a moose crossing sign that came up. And it wasn't like, you know, a lot of times we'll have deer crossing signs in Minnesota. It'd be like deer crossing next 2 miles, you know, or next mile deer crossing. Now, this was 10 kilometers. Moose crossing 10 kilometers, which is whatever, 6 miles or whatever it is. And then as soon as then that one and that ended, and a couple minutes later, another moose crossing sign came up, and it was moose crossing for the next, I don't know, 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange. There hasn't been moose down in the farm country there for years, and about 5 years ago, they kind of started to move out of the forest here, and they've expanded down south, and now... Yeah, it's a dangerous place to drive at night, sure.
Have you hit a moose before? We were wondering that.
No, never hit a moose, no.
That'd be a bad deal. And, you know, you talk about moving down to the farm country, and as a matter of fact, I think it was last week here on the show, I had Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish, and I lived in North Dakota for a while, but I grew up in Minnesota, and we grew up going up the Gunflint Trail, and that, to me, is moose country. It's that Canadian Shield. It's the pine trees, and it's Canadian wilderness, you know, or northeastern Minnesota wilderness, and that's moose. It's Grand Marais. It's Ely. And then when I lived in North Dakota, we go into West Fargo, which is, you know, residential, you know, houses and then wheat fields, and you'd see moose walking through the wheat fields, and it just seems so out of place to me.
Yeah, that's for sure. They definitely stick out like a sore thumb down there.
Right? But pretty cool to see those. And you told me, too, even right down the road here, you'll see elk once in a while.
Yeah. There's right close to Prudence here where a cabin is. You can drive out at any time. And they really like, there's kind of a poplar ridge right close here where they like to calve out. And, yeah, I see them quite often.
So we came up, and obviously we're doing some fishing. First day, my dad catches the biggest pike of his life out of your boat. Thank you very much for bringing us out. 43 inches, but wide and fat. And he was just kind of jigging. You and I were casting, and he was just kind of jigging next to the boat, and all of a sudden he catches the, the biggest pike of the day, you know, and biggest pike of his life. It was pretty cool. But we also wanted to do some waterfowl hunting up here, and I was happy shooting Canada geese, and all of a sudden that second night, I think we were up here, I started hearing snow geese in the middle of the night. I could hear them flying over the cabin, and then the next morning we went out and goose hunted, and it was just a massive migration of snow geese piling over, and we didn't shoot any snows. We shot a bunch of Canadas and shot a crane too, which was really cool, but we were driving out that evening to go scout those fields to see where we were going to goose hunt the next day. And you had two snow geese on your gravel road coming out from your lodge, not in the wheat field, not in an ag field anywhere, just in the middle of the road.
Yeah. Just hanging out in the road, eating gravel. Yeah. Just drive by, say hello.
That's awesome. It's very cool. Barry Prawl is our guest. We're sitting up high overlooking Tobin Lake here at Trails End Outfitters in near Nipawin, Saskatchewan. And it's been a great time up here. You keep making us way too much food, Barry, by the way.
Well, trying to get you to be my weight.
Yeah. Well, we shot some geese. I want to cook up some geese. And then you keep feeding us way more than we need. And I'm not hungry enough to start cooking the geese. But it's been a great time up here so far. And you got big whitetail and then black bear hunting up here then, right?
That's right. And we mostly just hunt in the spring. And we'll fish in the morning and hunt the bear in the evening. So it's a nice hunt. You get to do both, and it makes a nice week for the guys that come up.
You get big bear up here?
Yeah. We usually shoot a Boone and Crockett bear every year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Most of you guys gun hunters, or do you get some bows?
No, I would say mostly bow. It seems like until the guys get older and then they switch back to rifle, but mostly bow hunters. I would say probably 75% anyway.
And how successful are your hunters?
Well, you'll have 100% sighting a bear. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have lots of repeat clients. So a lot of guys come and just looking for a certain color phase or, you know, a big bear or something. And, well, so it's...
Do you get some cinnamons then up here?
Yeah, we have cinnamon, chocolate, we have the odd blonde, and yeah, and some nice big bears.
And then you deer hunt in the fall.
That's right, yeah. Mostly the month of November. They'll usually start about the first part of November, and you know, you kind of hit the pre-rut, and rut is generally about the middle to the end of November, and so, you know, you get through that week or 10 days, and then you get the last part where they're coming back to the bait, the bucks, to, you know, get the second part of the rut and trying to get some food in them for winter.
You got big deer too around here.
Yeah, we definitely have big deer. Yeah.
And you, I didn't realize, but you actually have some muleys around here.
Yes. Yes. There's the odd little pocket of muleys around that, they don't seem to really crazy expand much, but they're around. Yeah.
Sure. Barry Prowl, our guest, Trails and Outfitters, up here in Saskatchewan on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about what he does up here if you wanted to take a trip to do some whitetail hunting. So a guy from Minnesota can call you up and say, hey, I want to come up and shoot a nice buck this fall. He can get a license and come up here and do that.
Yeah, you bet. Just give me a call and we'll get you set up.
All right. And you have the area that you, because it's the way it works in Canada, you have an area basically that you're the only one allowed to guide in, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually Crown land, and the outfitters have separate borders, and you're allotted so many tags a year. My area is probably about 300,000 acres, I guess. And
Wait a minute. I thought you said 300,000.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Holy smokes. How do you, that's a huge piece of land.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's not that big. It's really, for the whitetails, you basically hunt the fringe, but the farther you go north into the area, it turns into swampier country. Okay. And more into bear then. Yeah.
Is it harder to get around in there, or is it just, you don't see as many deer, or?
Yeah, just harder to get around. It is drying up a bit. We've went through about a 10-year phase of just wet years where it's really hard to get back there. There is deer back there, but they're hard to get to.
Okay. And then do you, when you talk about hunting deer around the edges, do you do that to try to keep the deer on the property to give them a kind of a refuge in the middle, or it's just easier to hunt on the edges?
Yeah, they like the edge. They'll, you know, they'll stick to the edges and they'll go into a field maybe in, you know, in the evening to feed, and then they move back into the forest to bed down during the day. And like for us in the forest hunting deer, a lot of our deer are shot during 10 and 2, where they move out back into the forest, of course, and back into their homeland where they feel good.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you take guys out in the morning and they sit all day?
Yeah, that's right. We hunt in blinds. Pack yourself a lunch and hunt all day, sit in the blind and over bait. And yeah.
And then you're allowed so many hunters?
That's right. I do 25 deer hunts a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about that, 25 deer hunts and 300,000 acres, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice. You can kind of manage your area.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So if people with that, I mean, you stay pretty busy. So if somebody wants to come up and maybe book a deer hunt, they got to get a hold of you quite a ways in advance, or?
Yeah. I have a lot of repeat clients. You know, I probably have 80% repeat. So yeah, you know, you kind of call ahead for the next year. And
what about guys? If guys wanted to come up and fish the lake, or you know, in the middle of summer, or in the middle of winter, or they want to come up and do some waterfowl hunting, do you rent out the lodge at all for stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. I fish for walleye and stuff like that. We're gonna do mostly September, then of course I go to Tasman for the summer. But yeah,
that's,
if you want
no
to,
that's no fun at all.
Yeah, that's no, that's right. It's kind of a charmed life, that's for sure.
Gosh, I mean, we haven't even talked about Tasman, so maybe obviously we're at Trails End, so we want to talk about that. But I mean, what a fun trip last summer we had up there.
Oh God, yeah, a dream come true for me for sure. I've always wanted to fly out camp with trophy fish, and yeah, Yes, are done.
You joined up with Trevor Montgomery out there. Trevor was a part of a different ownership group in prior years, and then last year you and Trevor teamed up and took over. And that first night, very nice to meet you. Let's go jump in the boat, do a little bit of fishing. First fish was what?
First fish was it 51 pound fish or 47?
I think it was a
47 pound.
47 pounder. Yeah. And then the next one was 51. 51.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Then he caught a small one that was, 36 or something?
Yeah, that's right.
My goodness. Yeah. Special place up there.
It sure is.
And I'm hoping it sounds like our chef up there, Steve Driver, sounds like he might be joining us this weekend here.
Yes. Hopefully he's coming up for a wedding and, hopefully he stops in and says hello, and nice to see Steve again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great place here. I appreciate the time. Again, we've caught big fish. We've shot cranes. We've shot snow geese. We've shot big Canada geese. We've shot little Canada geese. I haven't shot any ducks yet, but I'm sure we will before our time is up here. But shot all these different birds and ate well, caught big fish. This is a special place too, Barry.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, nice piece of the world. Yeah.
And we got to watch Humboldt and Nipawin play hockey on TSN.
Yes, that's right. Tragic story from last year, and nice to see him moving on and everything back to normal, or kind of back to normal. Yep.
Well, I tell you what, I love Minnesota and the Dakotas, of course, but if you need somebody to watch this place when you're gone... I think Saskatchewan could use another resident. Spending more and more time here. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I'm glad you come. I'm glad to get to know you, and it's going to be a fun partnership for sure.
Absolutely. Barry Prawl, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
TrailsEndOutfitters.com.
That's right.
TrailsEndOutfitters.com. Find them on Instagram, find them on Facebook, and of course, find them on the web. Trevor Montgomery is with us up here. We're going to have Trevor on the radio show coming up. We'll hear from Lake of the Woods and Devil's Lake 2 on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio, sitting on top of Trails End Outfitters right here overlooking Tobin Lake up high. It's kind of a cool place to do a radio show, and Trevor Montgomery is joining us now here on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. And I was telling Barry earlier, Trevor, I've done the radio show in some pretty cool places before, like an island on Tobin Lake.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool place to do a radio show. But this is definitely one of the more unique places.
Absolutely, yeah. Sitting here, lakefront cabin, looking over. Beautiful, beautiful view. Nice, and it's a nice day too as well.
Yeah, it is. It is beautiful. And I'll tell you what, I've been waiting for cooler weather like this for a long time. And obviously, even when we go up to Tazen in July, it's not... A couple of days get pretty warm.
Yeah.
And I always have to do the conversion of Celsius to Fahrenheit, to figure out how warm it actually is.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's pretty cool up there too. But man, back in Minnesota in July, it was scorched. It was 95 degrees when we flew up to Fort McMurray to get on the plane to go to Tazen. So it was so nice getting off the plane and having it be a little bit cooler and get that far north. And that's what it's like here. Obviously, fall is here. It's September and best time of the year.
It is one of my favorites. The leaves are changing. There's no bugs. Yeah. And the fish are feeding voraciously, getting ready for wintertime.
Yeah, and you've told me about this lake a few times, and I've heard about Tobin before. So when you and Barry both said, well, let's make a trip up there in September, and you can maybe shoot a few birds when you get up here too. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you made it, and it's working out. We still got a few more days to keep on having some more fun too as well, and it should be very good, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I want to talk about this lake a little bit and some of the fishing that we've even done already this week, but... we got to see you shoot your first goose.
Yeah, excellent experience. Been on a goose hunt before, but never had the right gear or the right person showing me what to do. And today was a different story.
So. Yeah, well, you know, it's funny with a guy like you that's hunted and fished your whole life, you know, and back home where I'm at, and even waterfowl is, you know, is pretty big in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Deer hunting is probably number one, and walleye fishing probably right up there too. But, you know, a lot of guys are bird crazy down there, but you get up here and there's just so many options that I suppose when it comes to shooting those ducks and geese, you're like, I could do that, or I could go moose hunting.
Yeah, well, and it depends on your circle of friends, too, as well, sure. Right? You know, that has a lot to do with it for me. Is just a lot of my circle just didn't hunt geese and ducks. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I got excited because the first morning, you didn't hunt with us the first morning, but we shot some nice Canadas. We had some pile of birds working us, got to shoot some cranes. I was really excited to shoot snow geese up here, and I didn't know. I mean, you guys are like, they're not really down here yet, and I didn't know if we'd get into them. And mm-hmm. we didn't have 1,000 decoys, and we didn't have, you know, an e-collar or anything like that. So I'm like, gosh, if we shoot some snow geese, that'll be a bonus. And we hunted Canadas that morning, and that night, I guess it was the night before, we started hearing snow geese flying over the cabin in the dark. I was like, mm-hmm. We got some birds moving in. And then that morning while we were shooting Canadas, there were snows constantly. The migration of snows were moving in,
yeah,
just piling over the top of us. And there were a couple snows mixed in with the Canadas. We didn't shoot any. But then we went out the next morning, and it was exactly the opposite. All we shot were snow geese. Mm-hmm. And we shot, I guess, 2 Canadas. But So that was your first Canada goose that you shot?
Yeah, first Canada goose I ever shot.
And it was a lesser, actually, a small guy, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. That's a pretty cool goose for it to be your first goose.
Excellent.
So,
yeah. Oh, right on. No, it was a great experience.
That was fun. First time in a layout blind?
Yeah.
How's your back treating you?
It's better now that I'm up and moving around again.
Well, I'll tell you what, and they're easy to fall asleep in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, you know, if the geese aren't coming, you got to do something to entertain yourself.
Well, it got a little slow there for a little bit, and it was my dad and I, and then you in the layout blind, mm-hmm. and I was talking about what was happening, and I was asking some questions. I'm like, well, Trevor, what do you think about this? Hey, Trevor, what do you think about this? And I just... All I can hear is snoring coming out of the layout.
Oh, I answered you.
You're not, yeah.
That voice in my mind answered you.
Well, I guarantee you're not the first person to be snoring in one of those layout blinds.
No, so. Heck no, eh? Yeah, and it was a late night. I come up this morning, so.
Yeah. You did. Yeah, that's right. Met us, drove, 2 hours overnight?
Yeah, approximately 2 hours.
Showed up at 4:30 when we were getting ready to go out to the
ready
field.
Ready to go.
Showed up just in time to help set up decoys. That was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, we're at Trails End Outfitters, Nipawin, Saskatchewan, right on the shore of Tobin Lake here. We haven't talked fishing really yet. So Trevor Montgomery is our guest. Can you hang on? We'll come back, talk a little bit more.
Sure.
Fishing and stuff. All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. We'll also talk Devil's Lake and Lake of the Woods too.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes or with that podcasts app on your iPhone or the podcast player app on an Android device. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors is this show right here. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Brett Amundson. Our guest right now, Trevor Montgomery. We're sitting overlooking Tobin Lake at Trails End Outfitters here. We had Barry Prawl, the owner, on earlier, and Barry is co-owner with Trevor Montgomery of Tazen Lake Lodge, which we talked about on the show many, many times. My friends are starting to get, you're going to show us more pictures of big trout from Tazen Lake? Come on. They all look the same. They're all like 100 pounds, man. Come on. I'm like, you can never get sick of looking at fish pictures like that, Trevor.
That's for sure, yeah.
Man. That's a special place up there. I've been going up there for the last couple of years, and you got hooked up with Barry, and the partnership's working out pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. And now being able to come out here to Tobin and spend some time out here too as well for all of us, it's a great deal.
Now, you've been coming to this lake for a long time anyway.
Yeah, it's probably 20 years now, I guess, and love coming. Come up whenever I get a chance. Spend a lot of time here in the wintertime, though. Absolutely. Now, the old ice castle.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good place for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Made from Montevideo, right? Yeah. Next. That's funny that you come up here with an ice castle, and I live, you know, 20 minutes from where they make those things.
Perfect.
Western Minnesota there. But so in the wintertime, I know you're a big fish guy. Obviously, big walleyes are great, but I know you kind of like those big lakers, the big pike, jacks, as you guys call them up here.
Well, not me, but some people do.
A lot of people do, yep. Do you mainly fish walleye in the winter up here?
I fish anything that'll bite the hook, you know, and it depends on time of season too as well and what's feeding. I really enjoy fishing the big perch too, and there's an abundance of large perch in this lake, and it's not uncommon to catch 2 pounders, you know. Boy. So yeah, 14 inches and, you know, things like that, 14, 15 inches even sometimes. So that's great, especially if you get into school of them. And also big burbot, you know, or Mariah.
Eelpout, we call them.
Yeah, lawyers, all Link, that. Yeah, lawyers, got a pile of names.
How did that fish end up with so many names, by the way? How does that work?
Yeah.
They're delicious fish, too. Very underrated, I think.
Yeah, and fight like crazy, too. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when you hook into a good size one, you think you got a big walleye on because the way it pumps and it's great. And then you get it up and go, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it wraps around your arm. You know,
yeah.
I have no problem catching eelpout. I know a lot of guys in Minnesota, they used to just take them and throw them on the ice in the winter. Like, I caught another eelpout. You know, yeah. I hate those slimy, stinky fish or whatever. I think they're cool looking. I think they taste fun. And you're right that they put up a great fight.
No, sure they do. And they'll bite just about anything.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I like about them is they feed all night long. Whereas, you know, walleye will feed to that twilight and then they peter out. And then you have about a 4-hour gap where nothing's happening. And, you know, the burbot keep on feeding all night long. So it's not uncommon. Sometimes you get 3 or 4 or 5 an hour over the night. And, you know, usually when I come up here, I fish hard. So I'll
you
fish
hard?
Fish.
Come on. This guy. I know a lot of guys that fish a lot. I don't know if they fish as much as you do, take it as seriously as you do. And you like, you know, I learned this when I fish with you, especially pike fishing on Taz. And when you fish an area... And maybe some of these Canadian waters are a little bit different with, especially like on Tobin here, because it's part of the Saskatchewan River, so it's a river system, fish are moving in and out. You work an area. You might stay in an area for a while. Like we grew up pike and bass fishing, and we'll work shorelines, work our way down, or work, you know, weed beds or edges or whatever, and keep moving.
Yeah.
You have a plan when you come to a spot, and you work that spot.
Yeah, well, it depends on the spot. And if we get... out of it what I know should be there, and if we don't, then typically we'll do another couple of drifts and look closely, because also too, by spending that time there, you learn for the next time, right? And as you know, it works out pretty effectively sometimes as well. So
it was funny, we got out on the lake, and we ended up, you know, kind of going down the lake, and we were going to fish these different spots here and there, and we end up at this spot to fish, and it's like, well, I kind of expected us to go somewhere else. And we fished there and fished there and fished there. Mm-hmm. And we spent a lot of time there. We caught a lot of nice fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, in every drift, we were still seeing fish come up and falling in and seeing fish and catching fish that we hadn't seen the drift before, you know. So I'm never scared to spend time at a spot, because a lot of times that, you know, that's where you see that feed, because you get everything riled up. You catch one, you catch two, you catch a few. There's all kinds of vibrations going on. Then pike starts swimming around going, what the heck's going on? What am I missing? You know, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 you get that so-called feed. And wow, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. And when you do that and you're working a spot and you don't see what you expect to see there, do you switch baits? Do you go different color, different lure?
Switch baits, different color, different lure, over to the edges, different structure within that area. You know, trying to figure out as to, okay, the weather's like this, the wind's going here, it's this time of year. Traditionally, they should be, you know, on the points or on the edges of the weeds or whatever, and they're not there that day. Well, let's look a little farther around and try and pick apart that spot further, because then once again, you kind of know how to fish it more effectively the next time when you have those similar conditions.
Sure. So say somebody is not picking up a shotgun right now. It's that time of year. Mm-hmm. The hunting seasons are starting up. I guess back in Minnesota, we got a little bit of time before it really kicks into gear for hunting. But if somebody wants to go out and try to find some of those big pike right now, say you go to a brand new body of water.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you look for?
The map.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The map. At this time of year, you know, depending on where it is for geography, how far north and how far south, because of course down here it's not really, the weeds aren't dying off and all that and the water hasn't turned over yet, but you get farther up north and it's already, you know, late fall time, the weeds are dead or dying, the trout are up spawning in a lot of spots, so that moves the fish around, you know. But typically in fall time I'll fish the same areas I fish in the springtime, early spring, you know, where the points and the edges and the drops and the humps and the saddles and, you know, but a lot of species dependent.
It's funny you say down here, because most of our listeners are in Minnesota, you know, right now, and we're what, middle of Saskatchewan, kind of on the eastern side, but about halfway up, or
a little less than halfway up.
Less than halfway.
Yeah.
Up. Okay. So you say down here, we're still almost halfway north into Saskatchewan, and but you fish a lot of bodies of water north of here.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Well,
Tazan. Yeah, Tazan itself is, you know, what, 500 miles from here, 600 miles from here?
It is
north
far.
Yet? Yeah,
this is a
like
huge
that.
Province.
Yeah, it sure is, yeah.
You know, I suppose Canada's, you know, size of the United States, but what, 9, how 12, how many provinces in Canada? 13, 14, 12?
12 and then two... The two, three territories now, I guess. So, yeah, 13.
Okay. And so our states are a little bit, well, you know, whatever. We're concerned with this one right here.
It used to be 12 and they added one more.
Okay.
So
all right. Sounds good.
Yeah. 10 province, two territories, now three.
And we're at Trails End Outfitters, we should mention right now, overlooking Tobin Lake here on Sporting Journal Radio. Trevor Montgomery's our guest, just a couple of minutes left here. And, obviously, this is a great place, and you know, Barry's looking for deer hunters and bear hunters, and then of course for Tazan Lake, you're looking for guys to come up fish next summer.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Well, and this is a good time of year when we really figure it out and start to aggressively market and talk to people, and typically this is the time when a lot of people are looking to book a trip, you know, and we're definitely all about talking to people to see how we can make their dream come true, or you know. Get them out and experience what we've experienced.
Big lake trout, of course. They caught a 72 pounder out of there in 06. You caught two 51 inch pike, 51 and a half by 22 and a 51 by 19 last summer. Unbelievable. 4 days apart. Yeah. I'd never seen a 50 inch pike before, and to be in the boat for both of them was unbelievable. It's very cool. Obviously, giant lake trout. I think everybody that you had up there this year had a personal best, I think.
Yes.
And that's probably pretty common for you up there.
Mm-hmm.
So late June through end of August-ish?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to do September this year coming up. We're going to try and get into that trout spawn and experience that up there, because it's quite a unique situation. The weather can be anything from, you know, flat and calm and hot to rainy, sleety, or even, you know, yesterday, half of Canada woke up with snow.
Yeah.
You know, September 12th. Yeah.
I want a long fall. I'm not quite ready for snow yet.
Oh, it'll melt. That's okay.
But you're going to so when we go deer hunting, we like a little bit of snow on the ground, obviously, from tracking or whatever.
Absolutely.
When you moose hunt, do you like a little bit of snow, or...
Yeah.
Does that help you too?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It helps. And the biggest thing I find, especially this time of year, is it's coming into the rut, you know, and the cold evenings is a big one, because that gets them going, it seems, you know. That's for sure. But snow is always helpful.
Well, I can't wait to get back to Tazan next year. I'm having a great time here at Tobin at Trails End Outfitters. I'm glad you were able to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump in the boat, see if we can't get some big fish. You know, Barry got my dad a biggest pike of his life the other day.
Awesome.
You were fishing next to us too.
Mm-hmm.
And, but hopefully we can get one of those big walleyes now too.
Absolutely. So, yeah, for sure.
Trevor Montgomery, Tazan Lake Lodge. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hi, Babe Winkleman here with a message to waterfowl hunters. Even though it's fall, those nasty aquatic invasive species are still a concern. To help prevent them from spreading, cut vegetation above the waterline when using it as camouflage. Before you leave the boat ramp, remember to drain the boat and remove plants and mud from your decoys, waders, boat, trailer, and other gear. If we work together, we can stop aquatic hitchhikers and all enjoy better hunting.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and, of course, on those iTunes or the podcast app with your phone, podcast player, all the various ways to listen to this radio show right here, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. My name is Brett Amundson. Each week we go up to Lake of the Woods to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. And, Joe, I know you've been busy. We're recording this on Thursday night, pretty late at night, because you've been fishing a tournament up there, Joe.
Yeah, you know, the Minnesota Tournament Trail, the MTT, always hosts their championship up at Lake of the Woods. And, you know, I fish the MTT, so I'm part of the championship. And, you know, 78 boats, so 78 teams of anglers are hard at it trying to, you know, get Lake of the Woods gold. And I'll tell you what, man, day one today, it was a little bouncy out there. It was a little bit rough lake, and we had a strong south wind. And tell you what, there is 20. Out of 78 boats, 21 teams caught fish over. Actually, I should say there's 21 fish over 28 inches caught in the tournament.
Wow.
That's a lot. You know, out of 78 teams, that's a lot of big. That's a fish over 20. That's a fish of a lifetime. 21 teams caught those. And it's been a heck of a tournament so far. I mean, you know, Bear, we went out today. We started jigging at first. We caught fish jigging. They weren't the kind of fish I wanted. And I'll tell you what, we had, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, we had 4 15 inches in the box. Hmm. We're allowed to weigh, 6 fish per day per team. And you get, two over 28 for the 2 day tournament. They can both come on day one. They can both come on day two or one on one, you know? Well, we went on jig the first, and there's a whole pile of fish. They're kind of setting up in front of the lighthouse gap where the Rainy River comes in the Lake of the Woods. Well, the reason they're setting up there is because the shiners are starting to run. There's a bunch of shiners around. So big pot of fish out there. We went and got 4 15 inches in the box. 15 inches, you know, the slot limit on Lake of the Woods is 19 and a half to 28. So really you want 19 inches.
Yeah.
So I wasn't real happy with that. So after a couple hours, we bolted. And, you know, I went and did kind of a milk run where we hit some spots I was kind of thinking about. And unfortunately, they're, you know, halfway across the lake. And, you know, it's one thing going with the waves when you come back against them and they're 4 footers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, a little bit of a long run, and, but we did it, and, we upgraded a little bit, and we came back and we pulled crawler harnesses, the rest of the day and upgraded a little bit more. And you know, I think we're in, you know, 35th out of 78 for day one. And, you know, I'm not happy with that at all. I'm very disappointed with our first day results. But the one thing we always talk about on Lake of the Woods is that if you have a tough day in a tournament on Lake of the Woods, and it's a 2 day tournament, everybody's in it. And the reason they are is because you can catch those two overs on day two. And, you know, you get an over that's 10 pounds, that's extra 20 pounds, plus you get four other fish. That can put you right up into the money right now.
Well, Joe, you got to go talk to Mark Arneson's daughter and find out where, where she caught that.
Yeah, I know. I need to figure out where she caught that walleye that's bigger than she is, right?
Yeah, 28 and a half or whatever it was. Or just go out into 19 feet and just start drifting for about 3 miles, and you'll pick up some fish like we did when we were up there. So
those fish are still there. I don't want to run all the way across the lake for, you know, 18 inch fish. I guess if they were big headed ones, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, then I would have made that run, but sure. You know.
Well, especially when it's windy like that, it gets to be tough. So, is the river open in this tournament? Can you fish the river?
You can. Yeah, you can. And you know, really, quite honestly, everybody's heading to the lake, and you know, there's this right now anyway. Because the walleyes haven't started running heavy into the river yet after the shiners, that's called the fall run. You know, just about everybody's fishing the lake because there's a pile of fish out in the lake. I mean, you go out there and you should see your graph. It looks like simulation a lot of times. And fish are biting well. And so everybody's going to the lake. Those fish are staged out there. But to your point or to your question, yep, the river is open. There's 42 miles of navigable river. What will happen this fall is when those emerald shiners really start making their run, those walleyes from the lake will follow. So in addition to the walleyes that are resident walleyes in the river all year long, you're going to have a whole big blast of walleyes from the lake. And that's what creates that fall tradition on the Rainy River.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods, recording this Thursday night, day one of the MTT tournament up there. And you said you went out to Lighthouse Gap and caught those 15-inch fish. Were you jigging for those fish and then switched to pulling crawler harnesses, or how were you catching them?
Yeah, we were. Yep. So we were out in about 29 feet of water, and we were out today I had a pink and a gold jig on, and I put a frozen shiner on it and even put a little piece of crawler on it on top of the frozen shiner. Mm. And we were just jigging right off the bottom. The jigging for us this time of year normally isn't a real erratic jig where you pop it hard or anything. It's more of really just kind of up and down, real slow. In fact, half the reason, Brett, that I'll lift up on that, sometimes those walleyes, they don't tap it. They just hang on there. And what I purposely do with that is, every once in a while, I'll just lift the jig up. And if I lift up and there's a little bit too much weight on there, I'll set the hook. Normally there's a nice walleye on the other end.
And you said you're not happy with the results, middle of the pack so far. Who did have a good day, day one?
Well, I tell you what. So Rod and Dan Pfeiffer, they came in with a first day total of over 24 pounds for day one.
Hmm.
Well, 24, that's for six fish. So they had two overs and then they're four kickers. So let's say both overs were, say, they're 9 pound fish. That's 18 plus, you know, another 6 pounds and four fish. So they had an incredible bag of fish for day one. So I'm assuming they're going to go after their 19 inches tomorrow to try to seal the deal, you know. But I know that there's another couple, and I don't know them real well, but they had their two overs and their four fish and were in by noon.
Oh, wow.
And we're having a cocktail at 12:15.
Of course.
So they were at the bar at 12:15 with two overs and four nice complimentary walleyes. And so I know they're sitting pretty good. I think they had 21 pounds. And Alan Beth Stanley, those guys got it over today. So they're sitting up there, and there's many other teams that I don't know quite as well, but
sure.
It's going to be a shootout tomorrow because, you know, if you didn't get your big fish on day one, you're going to be targeting big fish on day two totally. You're going to pretty much, in many cases, put the small fish to the wind, not even worry about them, and just to go after those big fish, whatever techniques you think will be, best in getting them.
So when you say six fish and two over, is that you only have two over for the 2 days total or two over both days?
You can have the way that, you know, the Minnesota rules and the every tournament obviously has to abide by Minnesota, you know, DNR rules, regulations. Within those regulations, the tournament will set their own rules. And for this tournament, you bring, as a team, two-person team, you bring six fish to the scale. For the two-day championship tournament, you can bring in two fish that are over 28 inches.
For the team.
They can be all both on day one, both on day two, or one-on-one.
Okay. So it's six fish over the 2 days or six fish each day?
Six fish each day.
Okay. But only two over for the 2 days.
the whole tournament. Yep.
Sure. Okay. I got you. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. A couple of minutes left here talking about Lake of the Woods and the MTT tournament taking place. It was Thursday and Friday here up on Lake of the Woods right now. And so you didn't get the big fish on day one, Joe. I don't want you to tip your hat or anything. Obviously, the tournament will be over by the time people listen to this. But you got a secret plan for day two?
Well, no, I don't have a secret plan. You know, here's what's going to happen. I know that people are pulling cranks, and people are getting a lot of big walleyes pulling cranks. A few people are pulling harnesses, and there's a few people jigging. I think what we'll probably do is we're going to get out there and probably anchor up and jig. And we're going to try that for a couple hours. And if we don't get the fish we want doing that, I think we're going to put on some great big crankbaits. Great big crankbaits that replicate a tulipy in Lake of the Woods, and go after those walleyes that are 28 to 32 inches.
Well, good luck, obviously, in day two. And this time, so this is the championship. So does this kind of wind down? I mean, things kind of start winding down for the open water season after this, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, as far as tournaments go, I mean, you know, it depends on what you're into. If you're into hunting, it's hard to do both fish and hunt, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, the fall, I mean, yeah, we don't have as many boats on the water in the fall. But if you're an angler, if you like to fish, the fall is just an absolute awesome time to fish because, I mean, not only is the fishing awesome, like right now the walleyes are staged out in front of the gap. They're going to start running in the Rainy River. They're feeding heavy. The crappie bites on, the muskie bites on. You know, the waterfowl are flying. I mean, the trees are changing. It's a beautiful time to go fishing. Now, with that being said, I like to hunt. And I know you really love to hunt. You know, there's only you know, so much time in a year. So, and hunting season's a short season. It's pretty hard to give up hunting if you love hunting to go catch a fall walleye. So that's why, you know, people that hunt will oftentimes close her down once this tournament's over, and now they pick up their bows and their shotguns and their rifles.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to do a cast and blast type trip too. And, you know, it's kind of what I'm doing. And obviously Lake of the Woods is a great place to do that, whether it's waterfowl or, obviously the grouse, different grouse species that you got up there. You got the ruffies and things like that. But realistically, I'm sure a lot of guys now they're going to start thinking about hunting and then thinking about getting out there on hard water. And really now is a good time to start thinking about a ice fishing trip to Lake of the Woods, isn't it?
You know, I tell you, if you want to get the dates you want, you know, ice fishing up at Lake of the Woods is really popular. It's very good. It's fun. It's warm. You know, if you want to get the dates for ice fishing and the resort you want, now is a good time to start making your plans because things will fill up and they are starting to fill up.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about ice fishing, of course, and fall hunting at Lake of the Woods in the next couple of weeks. But Joe, I know it's late. I'll let you go. But good luck tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks. You guys have a great week.
And of course, if people want to plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, where should they go?
Yeah, you know what? Check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.